Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Just a few words about the service during Lent. We do not do the Gloria Excelsis. And so we've inserted the hymn,
From my heart,
to thy image. So that'll be our the place of the Gloria. I'll remind you when we get to that point. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart to confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God,
merciful Father, I, poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy marvelous mercy, and for the sake of the holy sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead of by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When he calls to me, I will answer him.
I will rescue him and answer him.
With long life I will satisfy him
and show him my salvation.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High
will abide in the shadow of the Almighty.
I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress,
my God in whom I trust.
Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place,
the Most High, who is my refuge.
No evil shall be allowed to befall you.
No plague come near your tent.
You will tread on the lion and the adder.
The young lion and the serpent you will trample on the foot.
When he calls to me, I will answer him.
I will rescue him and answer him.
With long life, I will satisfy him
and show him.
Yeah.
O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church, that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. Our confessional reading is on the Office of the Keys and Confession. What is the Office of the Keys?
It is the peculiar church power which Christ has given to his church order to forgive the sins of penitent sinners, but to retain the sins of the impenitent as long as they do not repent.
Where is this written?
The Lord Jesus breathed on his disciples and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins be remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Lent is from the third chapter of Genesis, beginning with verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Has God indeed said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, Where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? The man said, The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, What is this you have done? The woman said, The serpent deceived me, and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, Because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, You shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken. From dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife the Lord God made tunics of skin and covered them. We continue with our gradual. He commanded his angels concerning you
to guard you in all your ways.
On their hands they will bear you up,
lest you strike your foot against the stone.
The epistle reading is from St. Paul's second letter to the Christians in Corinth, beginning in the 6th chapter, with verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous, not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. It is so, but there is not a wise man among you, not even one, who will be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. Now therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to the law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat. You do these things to your brother. Do you not know that that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Here endeth the epistle reading. Please rise for the tract. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High
will abide in the shadow of the Almighty.
He will cover you with pinions,
and under his wings you will find refuge.
When he calls to me, I will answer him.
I will be with him in trouble.
With long life I will satisfy him
and show him my salvation.
The Holy Gospel is written for you from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again the devil took him up on the exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give to you if you just fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Here endeth the gospel reading. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven.
and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, another for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn. text for this morning will be taken from the Gospel. He gave his angels charge over you, the devil said, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him to a high mountain. He said, all these things I will give to you if you just fall down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. The devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Good overcometh evil. The grace, mercy, peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. There is both good and evil in the world. Which do you think is greater? Now, many people, by monitoring history, determine there is more evil than good in the world. One would think that after World War II, which caused the death of over 60 million people, and saw the collapse of perhaps the most evil, murderous governments in human history, would have put an end to mass murders. Nevertheless, in the decades since, nations from around the world have attempted genocides and performed mass murders on their people. Even in our own country, there are silent mass killings of the unborn, which has reached over 60 million victims since 1973. It certainly has become apparent that even when evil is overcome in one place, it pops up in another. Dear saints in Christ, evil is all over. It is everywhere. You see it even in your own hearts, as Jesus himself tells you. So it appears that evil is thus greater than good. And ultimately, evil will triumph over good. Nevertheless, the gospel reading, you learn the exact opposite. Good triumphs over evil. Christ Jesus is God, and he is the source of all good, while Satan is evil, and he is the source of all wickedness. Satan tries to defeat Jesus by tempting him into sin, but Jesus overcomes Satan by withstanding temptations. Jesus' victory over Satan is meaningful for you in two ways. First, and most importantly, Jesus is victorious in your place. He is your substitute. God credits Jesus' obedience as yours. Second, Jesus overcomes Satan's temptations as your example. You learn from Jesus how to overcome temptations in your day-to-day lives. Jesus is your substitute. You must understand this if you are able to understand that you are saved by grace. Many believe that when God saved by grace, he simply overlooks sin. If someone is confronted with breaking one of God's commandments, the response is often, but God loves everyone. Or Jesus says, don't judge, or that everyone's a sinner. Nevertheless, God saves by grace does not mean that God simply overlooks sin, or that God doesn't care about sin. God is a righteous God. He hates sin, and he punishes it. Good will triumph. Good must triumph over evil. You must not simply ignore it. Rather, that God saves by grace means that God saves you through Jesus, apart from your works. Grace means that God saves you apart from your works, but not apart from Jesus' works. What does it mean that God saves through Jesus? It means that Jesus fulfills all righteousness through his own obedience, so that you might be saved through faith. Sin is disobedience to God, and you are disobedient to God also. Jesus is perfectly obedient to God, and God credits Jesus' perfect obedience to you through faith. You are sinners because your first father, Adam, was disobedient to God's command. Christ comes to undo the sin of Adam through his own obedience. As St. Paul says in his letter to the Christians in Rome, "For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous." God looks at you favorably because of Jesus' obedience. Now, Jesus' obedience is divided into two parts: his active obedience and his passive obedience. Jesus' active obedience is where he fulfills the obligations of the law in your place. St. Paul speaks in his letter to the Christians in Galatia, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so they might receive adoption as sons." Jesus Christ in human flesh does what no other human being from Adam to this generation has been able to do. He obeys God's laws perfectly. He does not do this for his own sake, but for yours. God credits this act of obedience to you by grace. Now, Christ's passive obedience is in willing suffering and death for your sins. St. Paul speaks of this passive obedience again in his letter to the Galatians. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." And again in his letter to the Christians in Philippi, "And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." This passive obedience is usually what you think of when you think of Jesus as your substitute. Jesus suffered in your place. Still, it is both his active and his passive obedience which saves you. Now, if Christ had not been actively obedient in fulfilling the commands of God's law, his passive obedience and suffering for your sins then would not rescue you. You see, Jesus needed to be perfect for his passion to save you. Christ redeems you with a great exchange. He exchanges his perfect obedience for your sin, and the punishment you rightly deserve, he bears upon the cross and gives his full remission of sins and eternal life. Christ's victory, when tempted, was essential to his victory over the grave. And the consequences for you cannot be overstated. In this episode, you see a battle between the two greatest extremes: the greatest good versus the greatest evil. The victory of the Allied powers over the axis of evil is nothing, absolutely nothing in comparison. And what is truly remarkable is that Jesus does this in human flesh. He is your shepherd boy, David, who slays your Goliath. Saints in Christ, in each of Jesus' three temptations from the devil, He does as a human what humans fail to do. And he endures temptation just like the rest of mankind. And he overcomes the same temptations which fell Adam and Eve, the children of Israel, and you and me. And he does this by using the same tool that is available to you, the Word of God. This is how the author of the Hebrews is able to write. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. In the first temptation, Satan attempts to make Jesus commit the same sin he lured Adam and Eve to commit on that dreadful day, turning stones into bread. Is eating that forbidden fruit because it is doubting that God will provide for the body while neglecting God's word. God gave Adam and Eve more than enough food to satisfy their bodies. But Satan convinced them to be dissatisfied with what God had given them. The desire to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was an accusation that God withheld something good from them. So Satan tempts you into the same sin today. He drives you to break the third commandment by despising preaching and God's word because you think God will let you starve or that you will lose your house if you worship him instead of working. But Jesus, who hadn't eaten in 40 days, still trusts God will provide for his body. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Thus it is written for you as well. And so, the swing which fell your first parents, and which caused the children of Israel to grumble in the wilderness, and which leaves churches sparsely filled throughout the land, failed to fell Jesus, your champion. Now, the second temptation, Satan broke the second commandment by misusing God's word. He quoted Psalm 91, which you recited in the gradual. Yet Satan leaves out a very important line so as to mislead Jesus. The text goes like this. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. That Satan leaves out the line to keep you in all your ways, and thus totally changes the meaning of the text. This verse is meant to encourage you with the promise of guardian angels to keep you in the true way. Satan changes it into some warped prosperity gospel, which promises the service of angels for your any whim. And this is what Satan does to you today. He lures people who are altogether too willing to be lured to omit parts of Scripture that makes them uncomfortable. So you have Christians who love to talk about how gracious and loving God is, but then they deny the need for repentance. They deny the need for remorse over sin or an amendment of life. Nevertheless, you cannot receive forgiveness of sins unless you repent of your sins. In the last years, the United Methodist Church of America, the third largest faith group in the United States, repealed its ban on LGBTQ clergy and same-sex weddings to maintain the church's opposition to same-sex marriage and openly practicing homosexual clergy. This means this church body rejects what the Bible teaches about homosexuality and two sexes. Nevertheless, the Bible is very clear that such behavior is sinful, and that those who practice it will not inherit the kingdom of God. And this is not just an outdated teaching of a bigoted St. Paul who had never met a homosexual, but rather St. Paul ministered to such sinners. He confronted them with their sin. He brought them to repentance and then comforted them with the sweet gospel of free forgiveness for Christ's sake. As he himself writes after condemning homosexuality, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." You know, our church's stance on homosexuality or fornication or any other now socially accepted sin is based solely upon the Word of God, which your Lord Jesus teaches you to hold fast to when you are assaulted by the devil. The rejection of what the Bible teaches against sexual immorality shows an overall rejection of what the Bible teaches against sin as a whole. Remember, you are all sinners, and you all need to repent of all your sins, whatever your personal sins may be. Scripture is very clear that if you do not repent of your sins, you cannot be saved. It is a lie that the same devil who tempted the Lord Jesus in the wilderness, that you don't need to turn from your sins and ask for forgiveness. Rather, God teaches you in Scripture that you must daily repent of your sinful desires and receive forgiveness for Christ's sake. Picking and choosing what you want to believe from the Bible is putting God to the test. But trusting in God's word, even when it is difficult, will lead you out of temptation. Now, the final temptation might seem like the easiest one for you to resist. I mean, who would bow down and worship Satan? Still, Satan succeeds in this temptation most commonly. Because whenever you fear, love, or trust in anything other than God, you are bowing down and worshiping a false god. False gods can be money, possessions, power, sex, sports, even your spouse, children, grandchildren. And behind every false god, there's a boastful Satan. Satan caused Adam and Eve to worship themselves instead of God in the Garden of Eden. Satan led the children of Israel to bow down to every god in heaven, earth, and sea, made of stone, metal, or wood. And your generation is no better, as people labor for the most unsatisfying gods imaginable. Still, Jesus teaches you the most important commandment. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. You see, Jesus loves the Lord God with all his heart, soul, and mind. Jesus worships him perfectly. He is the only human being who has ever done this. All of you have fallen short. Nevertheless, through faith in Jesus, God credits Jesus' perfect obedience to you. Through faith in Jesus Christ, God is pleased with you only on account of Jesus' obedience. Nevertheless, faith in Christ not only credits you with Jesus' obedience, like a transfer from one bank account to another, faith in Christ changes you from being a slave to your sinful desires to a child of God. And as a child of God, you desire to imitate Christ because you hate the evil which Christ overcame for you. In Christ's temptation, you not only see the obedience which saved you from hell, but you also see Jesus demonstrate the weapon God has given to you to overcome the devil every day of your lives. That weapon is the Word of God, which reveals to you your Savior Jesus and guides you in the way of the Lord. Dear saints in Christ, Jesus overcomes the greatest evil in the universe through his perfect obedience through life and his willing death for the sake of sinners. Good overcame evil. And through faith in Christ, God overcomes evil in you. Not only does he desire to forgive you the evil that you have done, but he hinders the plan of Satan through you. May you ever walk with Jesus so that you might trample Satan under your feet every day. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
For the whole church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, you stand ever ready to receive the prayers of your children. Since we have so great a mediator in Christ, make our hearts eager to cry out, knowing we will find grace to help in time of need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, our shield and our weapon against the evil one, grant us safe haven within the walls of your church, and embolden our witness in the world as we receive your holy word and proclaim it in our lives. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, our first parents fell into sin, rebelled against you, and despised one another. Inspire the families of your church to live in sacrificial love toward one another and in faith toward you, that they may receive your temporal and eternal benediction. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, since we sojourn in the wilderness of this earth, look upon our desire for peace, and by your mighty power defend us and our nation against all our enemies. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of Sabbath, send your holy angels to protect and keep us in your ways, that no evil may befall us. Graciously behold the needy, the sick, and the troubled, especially those that we name before you, Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Bev, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Mo, Denny, Ruth, Janet, Roger, Micah, Lincoln, Eric, Rachel, Deanna, Valerie, Brianna, Chuck, Jordan, Pastor Fish, Mary, the Victor Lincoln family, and the Leslie family, and those we now need before you in our hearts. Satisfy us with long life and show us your salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, you covered the shame of our first parents with animal skin, and thereby foreshadowed the perfect sacrifice of your Son's body by which we are cleansed and clothed. Give us the garments of repentance and faith, that we may receive your Son's very body and blood for the forgiveness of all our sins. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of hosts, your servant David opposed Goliath with faith, and in your deliverance Christ, the Son of David, overcame the devil for our sake. Instill in us a spirit of prayer and holy discipline daily to trample the tempter underfoot. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, see how the adversary continually afflicts us and walks about as a roaring lion seeking to devour us. We implore you for the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us by the grace of the Holy Spirit and strengthen our hearts by your word, that our enemy would not prevail over us, but instead that we may abide evermore in your grace and be preserved to life everlasting. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Continue with the communion hymn. Sundays, the Christian questions with answers. I believe there's an insert in your bulletin. Do you believe that you are a sinner?
Yes,
I believe that I am a sinner.
How do you know this?
From the Ten Commandments, which I have not kept.
Are you sorry for your sins?
Yes, I am sorry that I have sinned against God.
What have you deserved from God because of your sins?
His wrath and displeasure, terrible death and eternal damnation.
Do you hope to be saved?
Yes, that is my hope.
In whom then do you trust?
In my dear Lord Jesus Christ.
Who is Christ?
The Son of God, true God, amen.
How many gods are there?
Only one, but there are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
What has Christ done for you that you trust in him?
He died for me and shed his blood for me on the cross for the forgiveness of sins.
Did the Father also die for you?
He did not. The Father is God only, as is the Holy Spirit. But the Son is both true God and true man. He died for me and shed his blood for me.
How do you know this?
From the Holy Gospel, from the words instituting the sacrament, and by his body and blood given to me as a pledge and sacrament.
What are the words of institution?
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Do you believe then that the true body and blood of Christ are in the sacrament?
Yes, I believe it.
What convinces you to believe this?
The words of Christ, "Take, eat, this is my body. Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood."
What should we do when we eat his body and drink his blood, and in this way receive his pledge?
We should remember and proclaim his death and the shedding of his blood, as he taught us. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.
Why should we remember and proclaim his death?
First, so that we may learn to believe that no creature could make satisfaction for our sins. Only Christ, true God and man, can do that. Second, so we may learn to be glorified by our sins and to regard them as very serious. Third, so we may find joy and comfort in Christ alone, and through faith in him be saved.
What motivated Christ to die and make full payment for your sins?
His great love for his Father, and for me, and other sinners, as is written in John 14, Romans 5, Galatians 2, and Ephesians 5.
Finally, why do you wish to go to this sacrament?
That I may learn to believe that Christ, out of great love, died for my sin, and also learn from him to love God and my neighbors.
What should admonish and encourage a Christian to receive the sacrament frequently?
First, both the command and promise of Christ the Lord. Second, his own pressing need, because of which the command, encouragement, and promise are given.
But what should you do if you are not aware of this need and have no hunger and thirst for the sacrament?
To such a person, no better advice can be given than this. First, he should touch his body to see if he still has some love. Then he should believe what the scriptures say of it in Galatians 5 and Romans 7. Second, he should look around to see whether he is still in the world and remember that no lack of sin and trouble, as the scriptures say in John 15:16, and in 1 John 2:5. Third, we need to have a devil also around him, who
murdering day and night, but let him have no peace within him or without, as the scriptures picture him in John 8:16, 1 Peter 5, Ephesians 5, and 2 Timothy 2.
Please rise. We continue with the service in second. The Lord be with you. Salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with clenched hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal Feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
take, eat, the true body of Christ, give him to death for your sin. Take, eat, the true body of Christ. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep in the baptismal grace. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep in the baptismal grace. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep in the baptismal grace. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep in the baptismal grace. Take, eat, this is the true body of Christ, give him to death for your sin. Take, eat, this is the true body of Christ, give him to death for your sin. Take, eat, this is the true body of Christ, give him to death for your sin. Take, eat, the true body of Christ. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Of this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Part in peace, serve the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat, true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat, true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin.
Jesus, Lord, and righteousness, I am.
the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins.
Shift the finish. us pray. We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us with this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us with the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Shine upon thee, be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Give thanks. Let's pray. Come, Lord Jesus,
be our guest.